Welcome to Hardwood Handicappers with Zach Cohen, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Zachary Cohen, VSiN.com senior editor with a Monday episode of Hardwood Handicappers. I hope everybody had a good weekend. We're going to hope to get this thing started on a positive note. It is Monday, January 12th. We are recording this at 10 a.m. Eastern. Friday, we swept our plays. It was a really, really strong night. Gave a little bit back over the weekend, but nothing too significant. Still been a really strong couple of days overall. I do want to talk about some of the kind of takeaways I had from the weekend before getting into tonight's plays. I have three best bets for tonight, two player props, and one best bet for a side. And then I do have some strong leans. So we'll get into picks in a second. But I guess the one thing I wanted to start with is the Kings lost by 13 last night. The Kings beat the Rockets by 13 last night. That is three straight losses for Houston, four in their last five games. And they did get Alper and Şengün back. That's going to help them, immensely. This is a guy that is absolutely fantastic on the offensive end of the floor. And I think that one of my main issues with the Rockets over the last couple of days or weeks has been that they've been a little bit too reliant on Kevin Durant. You kind of heard Ime Udoka go off after one of the losses, saying we can't be relying on a 37-year-old like this. It's just not sustainable. And I completely agree. So I am just kind of watching Houston over these next couple of weeks, because I do think that this is a team that I've said a few times is right up there with the contenders in the Western Conference. And I really do believe that when this team is clicking, they could beat anybody. And I think that that's going to prove itself in the postseason. But I would like to see them kind of turn this around in the regular season before getting there. And I do think that they need to start, just finding ways to, lesser the burden on Durant, because you want to have KD as fresh as possible heading into the playoffs. You can't be playing him, high 30s in minutes with an extremely high usage rate. That has been a recipe for disaster, for Durant over the last couple of years. I mean, the Suns didn't make the playoffs last year, but when he was in the playoffs, the last few times he's been there, he has looked tired. He has looked, guardable. So I think the Rockets need to do a better job of just kind of getting him rest within games and getting him rest throughout the rest of the season. So that's just something to keep an eye on, as this Houston team has been struggling a little bit. Another thing I wanted to mention was that, I did add the Suns to win the Pacific Division at plus 375 on Saturday. It was after a win for Phoenix and a loss for Los Angeles. And you kind of just noticed the Suns kind of creeping up on the Lakers in the division. And last night, the Suns beat the Wizards pretty easily. It's now down to plus 200. This is a Lakers team that's 23-13 on the year. I have a play on them at minus 200 to win the division. So very juicy. I added the Suns one. They are now 24-15, 0.5 games back. And the Suns have won 8 of their last 10 games. They're going to get Jalen Green back soon. And I know that that might not seem all that exciting. Green is not a player that a lot of people are excited about. I think that, he's someone that was viewed as having a negative contract towards the end of his run in Houston. But man, I just think with Jordan Ott proving himself as one of the better X's and O's coaches in the entire NBA, there's just no reason not to think that, Green's going to step in and give them a lot of juice. I think that he's going to figure out a way to be the best version of himself in Phoenix, and that, Ott has earned the benefit of the doubt there. And, just thinking that he's going to be able to plug this in and kind of just figure this out. I mean, I think the Suns team really has a chance of doing some special things the rest of the season. I don't think they're a team that they're not going to go out and beat one of the top teams in the West in the playoffs. But I do think that making the playoffs and not having to go through the play-in is a very realistic possibility right now. So I love the Suns to win a division. I still think at plus 200, it's worth a play, but I got it at plus 375. I'm now in a situation where I'll either win 0.5 units if the Lakers win a division, or I'll win 1.6-ish if the Suns win. So a good scenario there. Let's just hope the Warriors don't end up winning and ruining absolutely all of this for me, because otherwise I will lose an absolute ton. So I did add that on Saturday. I think that that's one of the more fun division matchups and races to watch the rest of the year. And then one last thing, I think it'll tie into some of the results from the weekend as well that I'm really looking at. I think I'm going to add it, right after this show, to be honest, is the Timberwolves at 35-1 to win the finals and the Timberwolves at 20-1 to win the Western Conference. Part of that has to do with just what we saw against Cleveland over the weekend. I mean, they lost in Cleveland on Saturday morning, but it was a game that the Wolves really could have won. It was a really strong performance for them after, a beatdown of Cleveland in Minnesota on Thursday night. So it was one of those baseball series where we got the two teams playing two games in a row, one on the road, one at home for Minnesota. But I was just really impressed with the way Minnesota competed in that two-game set. And this is just a team that continues to find ways to win. I mean, they've been really good ever since Chris Finch became the head coach there. And I just don't think that anything's that different this season. But the reason that I'm willing to make a swing on the Timberwolves right now, it's not because they're, you know, they're 26-14 at the moment, fourth in the Western Conference. They will probably end up being third by the time, you know, the end of this Joker injury comes. I think that, you know, Denver's played pretty well without Joker. They've been able to stay in the three seed, but there's only 0.5 games right now preventing the Timberwolves from being in the three spot, and they're not that far from being the number two. So I think that Minnesota might end up being the two or three in the Western Conference by the time the regular season's done. But I think that the reason that I like the Timberwolves, you know, as a long-term future play is, A, I had it last year, and I really just do trust this team. Like, they've been to the Western Conference Finals 2 years in a row now. But what I really like is that Tim Connelly, their president of basketball operations, is one of the best decision makers in basketball. And it sounds like he's being really aggressive and kind of sniffing around for trades. I mean, I heard that they were linked to Kobe White like last Wednesday or Thursday, you know, as one of the teams that's kind of, you know, poking around with Chicago, trying to figure out ways to get him. And if they can do that without giving up any of their core rotation pieces, if they can do it by trading like Dillingham and Mike Conley's contract, that I think bumps them up into the top tier of Western Conference teams, because we know this team needs a little bit of help at the point guard spot. Bones Highland has actually given them some really good minutes there, but Edwards has mostly handled the on-ball responsibilities, and he's done a really good job with it. But if you could bring in a guy like Kobe White, who can handle some of the ball handling responsibilities as well, but can also score, you know, 20 to 25 points whenever he's out there, because he's just an electric, you know, shot creator from the perimeter, I think that solves pretty much all of Minnesota's issues. This is a team that's still just very, very good defensively. I mean, Rudy Gobert is probably going to win Defensive Player of the Year, so I hope that you guys jumped on that when I had JVT on like two Thursdays ago. But he's a guy that's really, really looking sharp. I think that he's moving really well. I think, you know, JVT said it, like, I was a little thrown off by him, you know, being bald and just having, you know, just like an ugly overall look to start the season. But the more I've watched him, the more I've kind of thought that he does look a lot like he did, you know, in some of his other Defensive Player of the Year seasons. And he's doing a really good job of anchoring this defense. And as of right now, this team is ninth in the league in adjusted offensive rating, 10th in the league in adjusted defensive rating. And I think I do trust them to defend at a top five level when things kind of buckle down and get into a playoff atmosphere. And if you bring in White, then I think you could trust this team to score in the postseason. So this is kind of an anticipatory play, thinking that this team is not going to stand pat at the deadline. They know they need to make a move. You're not just going to lose Nikhil Alexander-Walker in the offseason and do nothing else and make the jump that you've been unable to make over the last two seasons. I think that Connelly's going to strike a deal. I think it's going to be, you know, a somewhat big one. And I think that that's going to move Minnesota into the top tier. So I think you're paying a price. You're getting a price right now for a team that's in the second or third tier in the Eastern, in the Western Conference. Sorry. But I do think that this is a really good play. So I would look strongly at the Timberwolves futures. Let's get into the games for tonight, though. We've done enough for Saturday and Sunday, enough, you know, kind of looking ahead to the future. Let's talk about the now. I'm going to talk about five games for this evening. I'm going to skip the Jazz Cavaliers. Cleveland is -13.5 at DraftKings right now. They're also coming off like 1.5 full days of rest because they played Saturday early on against Minnesota. It's almost a full day of rest there. There is a full Sunday in between there too. So I'd be really surprised if the Cavaliers can't just kind of blow the doors off the Jazz, but you never know. This Jazz team is a little bit pesky, but I do think Cleveland finds a way to get that done. And I don't really have a lean on the sides or totals. I don't really have a player prop. I don't like to play player props in these games that end up being, you know, borderline blowouts, because like I've said before, like, you just never know if your players are going to play the fourth quarter in games that turn ugly, and that just really throws everything off. So we'll start with the Celtics at the Pacers. This is a game that starts at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. The Celtics are laying 6.5 points on the road. Total's 225.5. And this one's a little bit tough because Jaylen Brown is doubtful for Boston. And this is a Celtics team that has been really, really good this season. I've talked about them a lot. Like, this is one of my favorite teams in the Eastern Conference. And I think this is a team that can absolutely win the East if they get Jason Tatum back. And those rumblings are starting to get louder and louder that he really wants to come back in either February or March. Maybe that kind of holds him out till the end of March as a compromise, but I do think he's going to be back. But either way, this is a team that's been relying heavily on Jaylen Brown, who has been playing at a borderline MVP caliber level. I think that this is a guy that's really going to be missed if he's not there, and I think the shot creation for Boston is just going to take a huge, huge hit. I mean, there are some players on this team that can obviously create offense for themselves. I mean, Peyton Pritchard, Derek White, Anthony Simons, it's another one. These guys can create offense for themselves, but I'm not sure they can do it consistently enough to win by margin on the road against the Pacers team that can be a bit competitive. So I think I have a lean on Indiana here, but I don't think I'd want it at 6.5. I'm actually going to be looking a little bit later on. I'm going to wait on the news for the injury report because Andrew Nembhard is questionable for the Pacers tonight with a sore back. I wouldn't be surprised if they hold him out. I mean, this team is 8-31. There's no real reason to force it with any of the key pieces, and Nembhard absolutely is one of their key pieces for the future. So I wouldn't be shocked if he doesn't play. But if he does play, I think that I'm going to be looking at the Pacers as an alternate spread team that I'm going to use in a parlay. And I'll probably do that in the game with the Hornets and the Clippers, which I'll talk about later. But I think the 10.5 is what I'm looking for with Indiana tonight. So I'm going to be keeping an eye on that. But as of right now, it's a lean to the Pacers, 6.5. I don't really have a strong side on a strong feeling on the total. It's 225.5. Seems a bit low, but like I said, with no Brown, it would be really difficult for the Celtics to score. And this Pacers team has obviously not been anything close to what it was offensively without Tyrese Halliburton. So I wouldn't be shocked this is a low-scoring game. But, yeah, right now, not a lot for me here. Let's move on to 76ers at Raptors. This is a game where Philly's laying 3.5 points. Total is 220.5, also very low. This game tips at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, and this is another one where it's one of those baseball sets, although back-to-back games in Toronto, it's not a home-and-home. And I do think that sets up a really interesting situation because the Raptors beat the Sixers 116-115 in overtime last night. And I just feel like it's really tough to ask a road team to go back to the hotel in another country and then come back the next night and win against a solid basketball team. I think Toronto is rock solid. I mean, they got off to a really hot start to the year. They cooled down a little bit, but this Raptors team can really defend, and offensively they're good enough to knock off some of these teams, especially when playing in Toronto. So small lean to the Raptors at 3.5 for me, even though I do think Joel Embiid will be out there. They did hold him out of the front end of this back-to-back last night. I think that means he'll probably be out there tonight. Not 100% though, but if he is out there, I'm hoping that he goes over 3.5 assists because I am playing that at +130. I actually had this play in at -117 for yesterday. It got voided because he did not play, but I do think that this is a really good matchup for Embiid to kind of thrive as a passer because Jakob Poeltl continues to be out for the Raptors, and this is now a very undersized Toronto team. And I think that might seem like it would mean that Embiid's going to go off as a scorer, and he very well could. I mean, he's absolutely going to punish mismatches if he ends up getting them. But I do think that he's also going to do some good work as a passer. I mean, this is a team that if they end up throwing help at Embiid, they send doubles his way, he can easily find cutters, he can easily find shooters, or he can just, you know, make the quick read and get it out to Maxey or Edgecombe, and those guys can just make plays on their own because those two are fantastic at creating quick offense for themselves. So I just think this is a game where Embiid is going to end up thriving as a playmaker if he ends up playing, but it's never a guarantee. If he's questionable or probable, whatever he is, if he's on that injury report, he is always a threat to miss the game. But I should just also mention that on November 8th, he played the Raptors. He had 4 assists on 7 potential assists. So he has done this before. I think that +130 is really generous. It's just, will he be out there? There's no guarantee, but there's really no harm either. If he doesn't play, the bet will be voided. So I just definitely think it's something that's worth at least putting in and just hoping for the best in terms of his minutes. If you're looking to sharpen your edge this NBA season, VSiN Pro is where to start. Get advanced analytics, player prop projections, and expert insights used by serious bettors every single day. Try it out for only $9.99 for your first month and see what smart bettors are using to beat the books. Head to vsin.com/subscribe and check out all of our subscription options. Let's move on now to Nets at Mavericks. This game is at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. The Mavericks are 3.5-point home favorites. The total, also 220.5 here. A couple of low totals tonight. This is a game where I actually think the Mavericks -3.5 at -114 is the right side. I know that this team is going to be without Anthony Davis and continues to be without Derek Lively and Kyrie Irving. I shouldn't have to tell you that, but they will be without some of their best players this evening. PJ Washington, also questionable, and Brandon Williams is doubtful. It's a loaded injury report for the Mavericks, but this is a really good spot for Dallas in terms of rest. Brooklyn is coming off of a game last night where they really battled Memphis in a road game and ended up losing that one. It was a hard-fought loss, but it was a close loss, and they did look quite good. But it is the second leg of a back-to-back now, and this is a team that is 6-15 straight up and 8-13 against the spread when playing on back-to-back days under Jordy Fernandez. And while I never really like to doubt Jordy Fernandez, having a team playing the second leg of a back-to-back and having a team playing, you know, the third game in four nights is never easy, but it's especially tough when you're playing a Dallas team that has not played a back-to-back since before Christmas. Like, this is a very well-rested Mavericks group. I think this team can still be pretty good defensively. So against the Nets team that I don't think is very good offensively, I think Dallas's defense is going to shine. And I do think that Dallas's offense, especially when they play a little bit faster with like Nembhard running the floor and you're just kind of pushing the tempo a little bit, can beat this Nets defense, which has been very good this season and very good over the last month or so. But if they're tired, if their legs are tired, they're not going to be able to get back as fast. They're not going to be able to get the defense set. And I do think Dallas can take advantage. I think Cooper Flagg could take advantage with another really big night. So wouldn't be surprised if he ends up going over his point total. So I keep an eye on that as well. But yeah, I do think the Mavericks minus 3.5 is worth a look. It's a very small point spread. So I need to get the job done at home. The next game I want to talk about is the Lakers at the Kings. This one tips at 10 p.m. Eastern. The Lakers are 9.5-point favorites. Total is 227.5. My first instinct when looking here is that the Kings are getting a little bit too many points. Sacramento is obviously like a disastrous, disastrous basketball team. But, man, Los Angeles needing to win by double digits with the way that their defense is playing right now seems like a really tough ask. So I'd be leaning Kings. I just don't want to back the Kings because, hey, I don't know who's going to play. Injury report's not fully out yet, but also, like, this team is just a threat to just no-show any given night. But one player that always shows up, always brings some energy, is Russell Westbrook, and that's why I'm going over 28.5 points, rebounds, and assists for him at minus 115. There's no Domantas Sabonis still for the Kings, and Dennis Schroeder is suspended as of right now because he went after Luka Doncic in their last game in the locker room or something. So I'm not really exactly sure what happened. It sounds like he maybe slapped Luka or at least tried to, but he will be out tonight. That means that playmaking duties primarily fall on Russell Westbrook. And I do think that that's a good thing for him. Over the last two games, he's averaging 8.5 assists. I think that his scoring is going to be there because this Lakers team is number 22 in the league defending the rim. They're also bottom 10 in the league guarding in transition and isolation. So I think that Westbrook's going to be able to attack the basket and finish a little bit at the basket. And I do think that he's going to knock down a three or two. He's, you know, been actually shooting the ball pretty well, at least pretty confidently. And, you know, if he gets his attempts up, you could count on him to knock one or two, even if his shot is really ugly. And then rebounds usually in the 5 or 6 range. Actually, I really wanted to say 6-7, but I did not want to do it because I just absolutely despise the stupid 6-7 thing. But yeah, usually 5 to 7 rebounds, we'll say that. Can always get up there in that category as well. So I just like him to stuff the stat sheet against his old team. I think he's going to bring a ton of juice, like I just said. And we just need to hope this game doesn't end in a blowout because I, you know, obviously I said before, don't like betting player props in games that could be lopsided. But I think without Reeves, like, the Kings will at least float around the 10 range and need to play their starters in the fourth quarter. So I think Westbrook, you know, can play 32, 33 minutes in this game. I do think he's going to end up putting up some big numbers. But yeah, it's Westbrook over 28.5 PRA for me. If I needed to take a side, I'd go Kings, but I'm not feeling confident in that. I like the Westbrook play a lot better. And then the last play of the night, or last game of the night, but I do have a, you know, kind of a play on it, is the Hornets at the Clippers. This game tips at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. Clippers 4.5-point favorites. Two total is 222.5. And unfortunately, Kawhi Leonard is on the injury report for L.A., and he's questionable, which is definitely not good for a player like him who is injury prone. I would not be surprised if he ends up having to miss this game. But I do really lean Hornets, regardless of what we see out there, whether that's, you know, with them getting 4.5 or 5 with Kawhi presumably out, or it goes up to 6.5, 7 if Kawhi ends up being in. I do think that Charlotte can find a way to keep this game close. And the reason I think that is just this Hornets team is playing a lot better basketball lately. I don't want to give you the net rating over the last 10 games. It's not going to do anything because the Hornets just won by 55 points against the Jazz the other night. And that just heavily, heavily skewed their numbers. Actually, when I did sort by last 10 games, they were number 1 in the league in net rating, but it means absolutely nothing because they had lost like two straight before that. So it just shows you how, you know, much, you know, one big performance can absolutely change things. But I do think that this team has been playing very well, and I've mentioned it before, but you know, the five-man lineup of LaMelo Ball, Con Knipl, Brandon Miller, Miles Bridges, and Musa Diabate has been one of the best five-man lineups in the league. And this team just got Ryan Kalkbrenner back. He gave Charlotte 12 points, 9 rebounds, 2 blocks in his return to action against the Jazz. They're just getting healthier and they're getting deeper like by the day. And Josh Green came back. He's giving them some good minutes. Everyone's kind of back. Trey Mann played well last game. And I just kind of think that this team does have some youth and like fresh legs that can bother a Clippers team that, while they are playing better, they're older, and that there's nothing that they can do to change that unless they make, you know, complete change at the deadline where they just swap out like 5 of their guys for 5 younger ones. But it's an older, slower team. They want to win in the half court. The Hornets can definitely beat them by playing a little bit faster. So I lean Charlotte at like 5.5 if you can get that. But this is the game where I would be looking to parlay with the Celtics. So the one that I'm really looking at right now, and I saw it at -104 at BetMGM, is Pacers alternate +10.5 versus the Celtics, and Hornets alternate +10.5 versus the Clippers. But I do need to wait and see what's going on with Nembhard and Kawhi. I'm going to probably post this a little bit closer to tip for that first game. So before the Pacers-Celtics game, I'd say to head over to VSiN.com. Check out my sides and totals column. I will add something there if I end up adding something here, but I would rather know for sure that those guys are playing and take this at like -130 than take it now at -104 and then lose one of those two players and kind of risk the blowout. But I do think this is going to be a really fun game to watch. And I do think that Charlotte is going to find a way to kind of hang around in this one. I think that the Hornets are a really legitimate Eastern Conference team. Like, they're not going to make the top 6 right now. So if they want to get into the playoffs, it's going to take going through the play-in most likely, but they could definitely do that, and they could definitely put a scare in somebody. So would not rule out the possibility of Charlotte ending up in the top 8 by the end of the year and just really being a tough out in the first round, because this team is coming on strong and they're coming on really, really fast. So I think they're making rapid improvements and they're a team to watch moving forward. Before we recap our best bets, attention any listeners who are new to VSiN. Signing up for our free daily newsletter is a great way to catch up. Delivered straight to your inbox every morning, VSiN's newsletter offers picks, data, and strategies for the day's betting menu. Sign up for free now at vsin.com/newsletter and start receiving your free newsletter tomorrow morning. That's vsin.com/newsletter. Stay ahead of the game and bet smarter with VSiN. Let's recap the best bets for Monday night. I have 3 of them right now, but as I mentioned, I am strongly considering adding that parlay, so we will probably end up with 4 out of the 6 games we'll see this evening. That's a pretty good margin. It's pretty good volume, but we'll stay with Joel Embiid over 3.5 assists at +130 versus the Raptors, Mavericks -3.5 at -114 versus the Nets, and then Russell Westbrook over 28.5 points, rebounds, and assists at -115 versus the Lakers. Good luck to everybody that ends up following me. And definitely, you know, I would love to have you back for the Tuesday edition of Hardwood Handicappers. I will check with Kelly Bidlin. Hopefully we'll have him as a guest to join me. But if not, I'll be talking through all the games. I'll be talking through some futures, just everything you've come to expect from this show. We'll hit all of it tomorrow morning. But yeah, good luck with your bets tonight. Hopefully we end up with another winning night.